Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. President Biden continues to press for a $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan, saying there's a growing and steep cost of inaction. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen agrees.
I want to emphasize the president is absolutely right. The price of doing nothing is much higher than the price of doing something and doing something big. We need to act now. And the benefits of acting now and acting big will far outweigh the costs in the long run.
Biden and Yellen met Friday in the Oval Office. Congress already has approved $4 trillion in aid, including $900 billion last month. Biden says although he'd like support for a COVID relief bill from Republicans, he's willing to move ahead without GOP support, saying COVID relief has to pass, no ifs, ands, or buts. He says spending another $1.9 trillion would be a bargain compared to the potential damage if a COVID relief package does not pass. With new, more contagious variants of the coronavirus now spreading in the U.S., the Biden administration is considering further restrictions on travel and may require airline passengers test negative before flying domestically. But as NPR's David Shaper reports, the travel industry opposes such a measure.
Airlines and other travel businesses have been decimated by the pandemic, and they say requiring COVID-19 tests for domestic travel would further crush the industry. Tory Barnes of the U.S. Travel Association also questions whether such testing is even practical.
Our view really is that it would be extremely problematic, difficult to enforce for many reasons, in particular the high cost and low availability of testing, which really would make it quite unworkable.
This week, the U.S. began requiring COVID testing for passengers on international flights, and that's something the travel industry supports as a way to safely restart international travel. David Shaper, NPR News.
The 48th annual March of Abortion Rights Opponents, called the March for Life, became an online presentation Friday because of the pandemic. NPR's Melissa Blanc reports.
The thousands of marchers who typically gather each year in Washington, D.C., were asked to tune in from home this time. They heard recorded remarks from religious leaders and politicians. Afterward, a group of a couple hundred did march to the Supreme Court. With conservative jurist Amy Coney Barrett, now a Supreme Court justice, abortion rights opponents feel emboldened by the court's new 6-3 conservative majority. Last year, President Trump became the first sitting president to deliver an address in person at the March for Life. Now President Biden has begun reversing Trump's policies that restricted access to abortion. Melissa Block, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News. Johnson & Johnson says its vaccine against COVID-19 is 66% effective at preventing moderate to severe illness. It plans to apply for its emergency use in the U.S. soon. It's a single shot rather than two doses and may not be as effective as the two-shot versions by other companies, but the development is considered helpful at a time when more doses of vaccine are needed. Also, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine does not have to be kept frozen but can last for months in a refrigerator. New research finds that marine heat waves are becoming more frequent and intense. NPR's Nathan Rott reports that could have major implications for fisheries, forecasts, and wildlife.
The surface layer of the ocean, which can act as a buffer shielding colder water below, is growing thinner. That's according to researchers from the University of Colorado. And they project that it's only going to get worse going forward. A thinner surface layer, combined with the effects of a warming climate because of human-released greenhouse gas emissions, will lead to more frequent and more intense marine heat wave events, the researchers say. Recent heat waves in the Pacific have caused major disruptions in aquatic ecosystems, starving birds and seals along the California coast. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
Capitol Hill Police Officer Brian Sicknick will lie in honor at the Capitol's Rotunda next week. He was killed when Trump supporters stormed the Capitol on January 6th. A viewing period will be held at the Capitol Tuesday night. He's to be buried at Arlington National Cemetery on Wednesday. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.